We are going to say good morning now to our guests, Maria Doherty and our dad, Hugh P. Maria, good morning to you.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm all right. I was just about to come over to you and I saw she's taking her headphones off.
My head is very small.
No, it's perfectly fine. So it's good to be modest. That's what you mean, is it? No. Hugh P., good morning to you. How are you?
Hello, Greg. I'm good. So far, anyway.
So far, brilliant. Kamir, used to performing together, have become quite the hit on social media. Maria, do you want to explain what you have undertaken and how it all came to pass?
Me and Daddy have been playing music now for a good number of years.
About 17, I think.
17 years. And we play at a lot of different sort of events and concerts and weddings and all sorts of different things. And we were doing a concert there recently and with, you know, Patsy Kavanagh, who wrote Home to Donegal.
Yes, of course.
So, and that was a wonderful day. And we were actually just talking to somebody and about social media, and they were saying how I am absolutely awful at social media and how I never put anything up, and I think maybe Greg, I should have been born about 50 years ago, I don't know, but anyway, so I decided, you know what would be nice for Christmas, to put a couple of wee songs up on social media for Christmas to just give everybody a wee bit of cheer. And then that turned into thinking, well, maybe we should do one every day. And now I don't know if that was the right thing to think, because it's been a lot of work, but it's been very beautiful to, the idea was just to give people a little bit of that Christmas spirit and a wee bit of joy, you know, around this time of year.
Well, we want it and we need it. There's a huge appetite for it.
Yeah.
And then you decided to go to different venues, or was that part of the master plan?
Oh, there was no master plan, I'm telling you. But no, it was just, you know, the way some people maybe at this time of year are feeling a wee bit lonely, or maybe just are having a hard time at Christmas, or maybe just the busyness of the whole season is taking away from that joy and the nice feeling of Christmas, what it should be all about. So really it was just that idea of giving people back a little bit of the nice Christmas spirit and just a bit of joy this time of year. And then we had started out doing them locally. So we did a couple in our local chapel, a couple of the hymns like Silent Night, Away in a Manger. We had a couple in our front living room, didn't we, Daddy?
We did indeed, yes. Front of the Christmas tree.
And then we decided, you know what, it'd be nice to show people some of the other lovely businesses and different things that are about that have put in a lot of effort. So we went into a couple of our local hotels who had beautiful Christmas trees, and one of them had a big grand piano, so I got to play that, which was really lovely. And then we were thinking about maybe doing something a little bit more entertaining, a bit more fun.
A bit more enterprising.
Yeah, and we decided, do you know what? You know Wild Ireland, Greg? It's a beautiful place.
Yes, of course.
And,
yeah.
So Killian there said that if I wanted to come up and feed the reindeer and do Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which was absolutely, it was such great fun.
If you tell me now you had bears on backing vocals, I'm cutting the feed straight.
No, but she was feeding the reindeer, Greg. So,
absolutely lovely. Well, come here, we've got so much conversation because we want to signpost people to where they can enjoy not just what's to come, but what you've done already. And that's the wonder of social media. It's in your own power to do it, which I think is fantastic. Yeah. Already, by the way, people are messaging in, talking about that cheer that you've brought.
Really?
You said that's what you wanted to do, and that's what they're saying as well. And it's become part of their day now to look out for it. So you're going to do two. Which one do you want to do first, Maria? Because I want to have a chat to Hugh as well when we've and then we'll finish with another one. So what do you want to do first?
I think I'll start off with one, A Winter's Tale. You know that one?
Of course.
It's a nice Christmas song.
We'll give it a go anyway.
So okay. I'll just have to pull off the headphones here, Greg.
No problem, and, you do that, and I'll just introduce it whilst you do so. I'm keeping an eye on you, Hugh. Okay, so this is Winter's Tale for Maria Doherty and her dad, Hugh P.
The nights are colder now. Maybe I should close the door and And anyway, the snow has covered all your footsteps, and I can follow you no more. The fire still burns at night, my memories are warm and clear. But everybody knows it's hard to be alone at this time of year. It was only a winter's tale, just another winter's tale. And why should the world take notice of one more love that's stale? It's a love that can never be, though it meant a lot to you and me. On a worldwide scale, we're just another winter's tale. While I stand alone, a bell is ringing far away. I wonder if you hear, I wonder if you're listening, I wonder where you are today. Good luck, I wish you well, for all that wishes may be worth. I hope that love and strength are with you for the length of your time on earth. It was only a winter's tale, just another winter's tale. And why should the world take notice of one more love that's failed? It's a love that can never be, though it meant a lot to you and me. On a worldwide scale, we're just another winter's tale. It was only a winter's tale, just another winter's tale. And why should the world take notice of one more love that's failed? It's a love that can never be, though it meant a lot to you and me. On a worldwide scale, we're just another winter's tale.
Absolutely fantastic. That's Winter's Tale there from Maria Doherty and her dad, Hugh P. Hugh, it must be lovely to perform with your daughter. Can you hear me, Hugh? You can? No, we've lost them. I was asked the same.
You just lost Daddy there.
Hugh, come back to us. No, okay. We'll get back to Hugh in a second. Maria.
Hold on 1 wee second. I'll give him my headphones.
No, sugar. No. Joel sort that out. It's grand. It's grand. It's
you
all right.
Can chat to me then.
Yeah, okay. Maria, where else do you perform music other than this adventure you're on with your dad?
So we do it at a lot of different things like weddings, concerts, just different places. Greg, we do a lot of dances and we do different places.
Flat out stuff. All right. Okay. Hugh,
you have him back.
Yeah, Hugh, yeah. Can we have your votes, Hugh, from Liechtenstein judges?
Sorry, Greg, I lost you there for a minute and the headphones were... Yes.
No, I was going to ask you because I thought it might be an interesting question. What it's like performing with your daughter, I suppose, in this on this adventure, but also with all the other gigs that you do together.
Yeah, it's great. I'll tell you, she keeps me on my toes, Greg. I've been playing now a lifetime. I'll not say how many years, but I played with different people, different bands, different groups, and all great. But it's a whole totally new experience when you're singing with your daughter, you know. And the thing about it is, when we want to practice, we just go into the front room. We don't have to meet up somewhere, you know. Yeah. And it's good. It's
and
good.
We know what each other's thinking too. We can tell. Yeah. Yeah,
you
nod or
you make sure your dad's thinking what you're thinking.
All
we have to do is just give a look, you know, and sometimes the looks can be a wee bit, you know, sort of.
we know what each other's thinking.
It's interesting, isn't it, how you're, and you see it with the musicians, how you do communicate whilst you're performing to the little subtle acknowledgements.
Yeah. Just a wee look or a raised eyebrow or something, you know. And yeah. That tells it all, you know.
Maria, yeah. Well, what's the social media accounts people can check you out on?
So we've been going on YouTube for quite a while now. We have quite a good following on YouTube, don't we, Danny?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
For some reason, Greg, for this Christmas countdown, we've actually people from all around the world have been tuning in. It's been
lovely,
so nice.
It,
they've been coming in from Japan and Australia and Canada and all sorts of places.
Yeah,
and I think maybe the YouTube has worked really well for us, for people from around the world. So that would be our main one.
Yeah, and YouTube is, the different platforms have different sort of, like, some of it's just about scrolling, and then others, like, if you're getting good traction on YouTube, people are actively tuning into it, if you know what I mean. And it's, you know, it's a very, and there can be a really nice organic feel to it, because the growth sort of comes from word of mouth or sharing, and it's nice.
Yeah, I think that, as you say, they choose to listen to YouTube. And we actually have a few songs on there, don't we, Daddy, that have done really well?
Yeah, we've one on there, Greg, has done really well. It's an old American bluegrass thing. It's actually got over 10 million views there at the minute, you know.
Well it's not on my list, lads. What do you
play with? Oh, no, it's not a Christmas song. Sorry, Greg.
No, this is not a Christmas one.
But arguably... If it was possible, we could sort of insert that one now and then finish.
We're very bad at... I told you we were bad at the social media, Greg, but we're very bad at promoting. We need a manager or something to promote us.
I'm not putting you on pressure. We're going to hear you sing Oh Holy Night shortly. But if you felt you could segue in that one now, or do you use different instruments, tuning, it's not doable, is it?
I've talked myself into it there, haven't I, Greg?
Well, see, I'm trying to give you an out, right? But you're kind of giving yourself in. So what, should we give it a rattle, no?
Oh,
yeah,
Lordy.
I'm game.
If you
game
want to
for yeah, this could be rough,
do
Greg.
Doesn't matter,
we
it's not going to be rough.
Planned I'm, to do this at all.
I know that, and that's why I was giving Hugh all the outs, but he's chomping at the bit, Maria.
He is not. And Greg, sorry, just while Dad is getting ready there, you had said what social media? So yeah, YouTube, and then we have started putting it on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
Well done.
So we began all those. I think that Facebook is the main one for the Christmas countdown. If people want to tune in there, we have a little short every day.
Excellent. Right, so what are we doing now, Maria? Introduce it to us.
Well, we're doing the one that you've talked
about. Yeah, go on.
So this is a song
views.
Called... Oh, golly. This is a song called I Heard the Bluebird Sing, and it's not a Christmas one, so I'm sorry to anybody who...
Listen, we'll get back on brand. We'll get back on brand after.
Oh, and if we remember the words, you're right. Okay, go ahead, Dad. You give it a go.
I met a girl out in the hills. She gave my lonely heart a thrill. Her beauty seemed just like a breath of spring. And when I looked into her eyes, I thought of blue in the summer skies. And when I held her hand in mine, I heard the bluebird sing this song of wandering.
Wondering if you love her,
would she marry?
Marry if you'll ask her,
will her heart be?
Heart beat true for him for then and evermore.
And when she's lonely,
lonely is he near her?
When there's sadness,
sadness will he cheer her?
Will they always
be together until in death they part? I courted her for months on end until she promised we would wed. We planned on being married in the spring. All through the long cold winter months it seemed like spring would never come. And every gloomy winter's day I heard the bluebird sing
this song of waiting,
waiting for the flowers.
instead of counting.
Counting every hour.
Till the bluebird.
Bluebird chirps his welcome into the world once more.
Though we're waiting.
Waiting for the sunshine.
We keep hating.
Hating every storm cloud.
That is gathered.
Gathered o'er the mountains to keep us far apart. Village church, our wedding seemed just like a dream come true. Though many years have come and gone, our love is still as true and strong as when I found her long ago, and still the bluebird sings.
We sang of loving,
loving every hour,
that I'm married,
married to my flower.
We'll be happy,
happy ever after, as soon as the day we met.
And though we're older,
sweeter,
we'll grow fonder,
fonder of each other.
We'll be sweethearts,
sweethearts close together until the end of time.
Oh, okay, impromptu, and we should never have doubted ourselves, Maria. We got all the words, and it sounded fantastic. And
oh, thank you so much, Greg.
Hugh got to flex thank his you. Fingers a bit more too as well, which was fantastic. Hugh, thanks for that. That was amazing. Well done. I'm really so glad we went down that route. Loved it.
Well, I don't know. I should have oiled my fingers before I came
well,
up here.
Well, say nothing now, because from our perspective, it was perfect. So don't say anything can chip away from that. Lots
thank
of nice, nice messages coming in. Hi, Greg. My uncle in Chicago passed away a year ago at aged 85, and he loved listening to Hugh P and Maria all the way over there. Lovely to hear them live on the radio. That comes in from Marie. And Marie, of course, sorry that
so
you
nice.
Lost your dad, but it's nice because you are intertwined now into their memories. And isn't that a beautiful, isn't that a beautiful thing?
That's amazing.
Thank you, Marie. Sorry about your dad, but it was beautiful that he was connected to us all here.
Exactly, yeah. Saw this beautiful dad and daughter in Angrianon at Jim Lamont's book launch. They're fabulous, and Maria is a gem. Hi, Greg. Enjoying your guests, Hugh P and Maria. Two of Inishowen's finest musicians. Their Advent carols are top class. That's from Breed.
Aww.
And great to hear Hugh P and Maria on Highland Live. Enjoyed their music on the TV and YouTube for many years. And they're great musicians and lovely people. And Margaret Differ on Facebook. Aww. Absolutely beautiful, Hugh and Maria. And also Elaine.
Wow.
Saying that was absolutely fabulous. Right, okay. So,
those were such lovely comments.
That's great.
Yes, indeed. Okay,
gee,
that's just,
thank you so
that's
much, everybody.
Just an unsolicited sample of some comments that are coming in your direction. Right, so is there anything that you want? I mean, we've mentioned the social media and what you're doing. Is there anything coming up that you want to mention before we play out, Maria?
I'm not sure, Greg. Well, I suppose we've been working very hard on a new CD, haven't we, Daddy?
We have indeed, yeah.
So,
and, that's our next project.
Well,
it's,
keep
it's not a project.
Go on, it's not a project. What is it?
It's not a project. It's almost finished, actually. So
it's
an almost finished project, I suppose. Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
So we're hoping to have it finished now, early in the new year, Greg, you know.
Okay, well, keep
we're trying
the
to... Yeah, we're trying to, we've decided, we're, as I was saying to you earlier, I think Irish people are a bit known for hiding their light under a bushel, and I think we've been the worst at that, and we're, I suppose, just trying to, I suppose when God gives you a gift, you have to use it, right? And we've been really bad at that, so just trying to not think, well, I'm not good enough to do that, and to just do it anyway, and hopefully somebody will like it, and it seems that
some of the most difficult hurdles to overcome are ones we place in front of ourselves.
Definitely, that
way,
is 100% right, Greg.
True, that's very
100%
true,
Greg, right.
Yes,
what are you going to finish with, Maria?
We're going to do one that I think is, for me, the song that What Christmas Is All About. So we thought that we'd do this one now. This is Oh Holy Night. So hopefully your listeners like this one.
Okay, and this is, again, just to remind you as they get prepared, Maria Doherty and her dad, Hugh P. Check them out on social media, right across all social medias, for their Christmas musical countdown adventure. So whenever you're ready.
Oh, The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Thank you, Maria. That was absolutely beautiful. And thank you. Thanks for calling in to us. Really appreciate
it. Thank you so much, Greg.
All right, and the best of luck with everything into the future. It's our pleasure. Thank you. Real treat.
Thanks so much. And thanks everybody for listening.
Indeed.
Thank you very much.
Bye bye, Hugh.
Thanks to all the people who commented there. Thank you very much, folks. Thank you.
Okay, and check out Maria Doherty and Hugh P for more back after the break. I'm going to do a couple of comments and then get back on track. Fabulous, says a listener, I need a CD by Hugh P and Maria. Well, your wish is their command. It's coming in January. What a wonderful rendition of that song from Maria. Yeah, Oh Holy Night. It is, isn't it? It's actually why would you take out the meaning? But it's actually a beautiful piece of music. Hi, Greg. Can you please pass on my best wishes to Hugh P and Maria? I absolutely love their version. I've got a couple more years from Michael in Clonmany. The most beautiful singing, voice of an angel. Thank you. Another just beautiful. And as I say, do you know, these comments are unsolicited. It's not like me saying, please get your messages in as to how much you enjoyed it. People are so moved by it and enjoy it so much that they decide to do that themselves. So I really appreciate it. Raymond Sweeney says, excellent. What lovely people indeed. And I was able to, Tom McBurty as well, absolutely fabulous. Hugh P and Maria Doherty and Black, really beautiful. Maria and Hugh P, happy Christmas to you all. So these are a mixture of social media comments and text comments and all. So more live music for you tomorrow. Well, I'm going to insist on it, actually, because why would you send Sinead Black to out and about without insisting she sings you one or two? And so hopefully she will comply. Not comply, sorry, oblige. Comply sounds terrible. Because Sinead Black's away on Thursday, sorry, to the Dunloe Community Hospital to chat to residents of the facility, staff, and hopefully get a number or two. That's on Thursday. And then on Friday, Sinead Black's joined by Tommy Rosny. And they'll be live at the Archview Lodge Nursing Home in Letterkenny. So again, another audio-visual experience for you to enjoy as we lead up to Christmas. And tomorrow we're coming to you live from the City of Derry Airport. We have the regular show, of course, that you have come to know and tolerate. And we'll also be doing Home for Christmas. And that's all we'll say at this point. Suffice to say, if you want a little Christmas boost, because you know what we do, we sprinkle our magic, then please tune in tomorrow, or again, watch the programme, whichever you prefer. And you'll see those events unfold at City of Derry Airport for Home for Christmas. So looking forward to that. Right now, before I go to a break, I want to mention that time is shortening. If you want to be in with a chance to win four prizes of €1,000 and a car, because we have a Renault Symbios worth over €35,000 to give away next week. John Bresson's giving away 1,000 today. Then I presume it's David, Ivan and Lee, if we're following the order from last week. There's four more thousands to give away this week, and then the car, 261, beautiful, brand new car, ready to go for your family car. It is that type of a car. I just want to give you a heads up. If you want to enter, please get your tickets now so you're in all five draws. Give us a call here, 07491 25000. We'll make sure you're in the draw and you have your number. You don't have to answer your phone, by the way. If your number comes out, you've won. We love to have a chat. But if you're working in retail or your office manager is a bit snooty, don't worry about that. You don't have to answer the call. You can just enter. And if your number comes out, you've won. So four 1,000s and a car. That's what's up for grabs. You can go onto our website too, highlandradio.com, or as I say, give us a call, 07491 25000. The tickets are €15, or you can get five for a tenner. Obviously, only play if you can afford it and have a bit of fun with your very hard-earned money. But you could have a grand in your pocket today, or a car on your driveway, January. I can understand the motivation of making these lending institutions give the T's and C's at the end of the ads, but there has to be a better way than rattling off 60% of the ad about stuff we can't even hear. But anyway, Dr. Maura McGeehan's assistant professor in the University of Limerick's Department of Psychology and researcher in UL's Health Research Institute led a study we're about to talk about now. It's the study, as an Irish Research Council funded doctoral scholar. The title's in there somewhere, Maura. Doctor, good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Greg. It's great to be here.
Right, you've been involved in a major new study from the University of Limerick, and it analyses a lot of people, so it's a real broad sort of sample. And it's years of data, and it reveals personality traits and their links to longevity and risk of death as well. So how did you manage to get access to all this data, and what did you do with it?
Well, it's publicly accessible. These are published studies. So we compiled data from all of these published studies. We brought them together, and then we conducted meta-analysis on the studies based on each specific trait. So we looked at neuroticism, extroversion, openness, conscientiousness, and agreeableness.
Right. So talk to us about some of these traits and how they are linked to our health or, in fact, our death.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of research out there that suggests that personality is critically important to health and outcomes across the lifespan. It's important to caveat this with, I mean, the study is looking at longevity, but it's not going to tell you how long you live. It's not meant to scare people and say, oh, you know, if you're higher in neuroticism, you know, you are at higher risk of death, but it doesn't mean, you know, in terms of years, it's not an absolute risk of death. So it there are different theories out there. They look at, you know, how differences in personality traits kind of dictate the behaviors we engage in. So we know that, you know, neuroticism, if people are higher in neuroticism, they tend to maybe use different coping mechanisms to cope with stress and anxiety. So they may tend to have poor dietary habits, may use addictive substances, alcohol or cigarettes to cope with anxiety and stress and worry because they tend to experience more. So over time, that makes sense that this is linked to poorer health outcomes and ultimately longevity. And on the other side of that, conscientiousness is also linked to a reduced mortality risk. People who are higher in conscientiousness tend to, you know, maybe adhere to diets more strictly. They might choose healthier foods. There's different research out there that suggests that, you know, people tend to react differently to stress as well, and have maybe more healthy coping mechanisms too. So there's a number of different mechanisms, biological and health behaviors, that are associated.
As mm-hmm. much as can be determined, right? So say there was two of me on a desert island with the same access to the same food and clean water and what have you, right? And I am, which I am, very stressed all the time. I'm an overthinker, probably emotionally unstable. I'm not really quite sure. And then there was the other me, right, who was really chilled, took things just as they come, and says, you know what, I'm on this desert island and I'm just going to make the most of it. That attitude in and of itself, or our personality traits, would that affect our longevity, or is this how we live our lives with these traits that's impacting on our longevity?
Yeah, it's more a longevity. It's more across the lifespan. So, you know, there's different reasons for reacting to specific moments of stress. But this is really about regular patterns of stress, regular patterns of, you know, how you cope with life, how you cope with stresses. You know, if you were stranded on a desert island, I think anybody would struggle to be chilled with that. I mean, definitely. And conscientious people aren't necessarily that chilled. They can be quite driven and self-organized, and, you know, that can have its downside as well, being very rigid with that. So there's no black and white with it, really. It's really about, I suppose, across the lifespan. And that's why this study was quite interesting, because we were able to analyze decades of research. So it's not a particular incident, because personality traits are, they're assessed at one time point, but they're really about patterns or tendencies of behavior or reactions throughout the life. So it's not about kind of one incidence of stress, or, oh, you know, I got really anxious that one day. That doesn't mean anything, really. It's really, it's about the patterns and how you interact with life and how you react yourself.
So do you think there's anything we as the people can learn from this, if you know what I mean? Like, if you are very stressed and you tend to do something that in the end can sort of impact the longevity of your life, or you're very organized and you go to the GP more regularly than anyone and you cross all your bloods and all that kind of stuff. Like, is this more of an observation of where we are at, or do you believe there's any learning that we can sort of take from this and implement in our lives to improve our longevity?
Yeah, I think it's great to increase awareness. And, you know, with anything like this, it's really just about increasing awareness. It's not really at the stage of bringing it in for interventions in GP surgeries, even though that would be a really interesting future trajectory for it. So it's interesting you mentioned medication there, because people who are higher in neuroticism, they might go to the GP more because they might have higher concerns with illnesses, but they also might have struggle with, you know, maintaining a medication regime. So, you know, even in terms of noticing, you know, okay, maybe I experience higher anxiety, worry, you know, maybe it might be a good idea to look at that medication adherence, you know, put supports in place for that, look at how you're coping with your stress and anxiety, because, it, you know, the coping mechanisms are quite important. And if we kind of use healthier behaviors to cope with our stress, it definitely, you know, would impact that. It is difficult to change personality traits.
It is,
you know,
yeah.
We all know healthier choices, but in the end of the day, you know, there's maybe more struggles for people who feel that higher neuroticism to make those choices.
It's funny,
so they might,
you know,
need more support.
You know, like I have certain personality traits, and I thought, right, I'm really conscious of it. They're not bad, but they're, you know, anxiety or stress or things like that, right? And I do try my best to control it. But, you know, my eldest son was born. He won't mind me saying this, I don't think. And I thought, right, I can do everything now that I felt, because my parents didn't understand me, that I can do for them. And it's funny, you know, sometimes just stuff's in you, you know, it's genetic. And, you know, with all the knowledge and everything like that, there just some stuff is genetic, and there's not much you can do about it. It's not serious stuff. Don't get me wrong, Maury, you know,
but it's just funny.
There's nature and nurture, and
that.
You can't necessarily fight the nature sometimes.
No. And, you know, personality traits do tend to change over time. As we age, neuroticism reduces, conscientiousness tends to increase anyway. And, you know, you can certainly put things in place when you notice, okay, I'm not coping as well today. Maybe I'll take some steps and get some fresh air, and, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, if people have, it's important to say as well that this was general population. This wasn't pathological anxiety. This wasn't any anxiety disorders or anything like
stuff.
That. I just want to make sure to say that.
Yeah.
Because
no, that's clear.
It's not to dismiss anyone with like severe anxiety, because that is a different issue completely.
Yeah, of course. Listen, thank you for joining us. It's been lovely seeing you. Lovely talking to you. Have a wonderful day.
Great to see you, Greg. Thanks
bye-bye.
A million.
Look after yourself. That's Dr. Maura McGeehan there, who's an assistant professor in the University of Limerick's Department of Psychology, and obviously a researcher, et cetera, et cetera. Right, okay. I will take a break and then come back to comments, because I don't want to switch from one thing to another and it might seem some way insensitive. Right. Let us take that break. Right. We are joined on the programme now by Caroline Carr, assistant curator of the Donegal County Museum, and it's in the context of an exhibition to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the birth of Jane Austen. It's taking place at the Donegal County Museum until the 22nd of December. Good morning to you, Caroline. Lovely to have you on, as always.
Thank you very much, Greg. Great to be on.
Do you think Jane Austen's Donegal connections are widely known? And I suppose give them to us whilst you're answering.
Of course, we know of them, and maybe some people in Donegal know of the connection, but it's a fascinating story, and it reads the Jane Austen's nieces' lives in Donegal, basically read like a plot of a Jane Austen novel. So how they ended up in Donegal was Cassandra Knight, who's the daughter of Jane Austen's sister, Cassandra. So she was 20 when Lord George Hill proposed, but George Hill was, he's the youngest son, and his future and his money was dependent on his formidable mother, the Marchioness. So she assessed Cassandra, saying, no money, all charm. So no marriage was allowed to take place. So they had to split up, and both were heartbroken. So he went off and devoted himself to making money, his career. But 8 years later, he came back and he proposed. And her brother, Charles, because her father was dead at that time, he stated that we cannot but be most thankful that such a shocking thing was averted, and the only person she has ever loved and who's any way worthy of her got her at last. So, you know, because 28 would have been an extraordinary age to marry at that stage. You'd been written off as a spinster. So they married in a beautiful Grand Society wedding in London. So how they ended up in Donegal was they had moved to Ireland, and he worked in the household of the Lord Lieutenant of Ireland. But his mother eventually died in 1838, and he eventually inherited enough money to resign his commission, and he came to Donegal and bought what became known as Gador Estate. Mm. And they lived in Donegal. The first home was just at Gartley House, and anybody who's come to Old Aldi goes out the front door and look up, which we call now the Robinson's House, the big house there. So that was their first home, and they were very happily married. But unfortunately, she died shortly after giving birth to, her fourth child. So he was left with a newborn baby, so her and three other children. So her sister Louisa had to travel from Godalming Hall, wherever Jane Austen fan knows, to come to Ireland to look after the children. So eventually, over the years, he fell in love with her. And he proposed, but this caused huge scandal and outcry in society. Like, this would be kind of news of the world front page scandal. And it was even mentioned in Parliament. So they couldn't marry in Ireland and England. So they had to travel to, they got permission from the King of Denmark to travel there and married. And then he had to appear, when he came back then, he had to appear before a parliamentary commission to discuss his marriage, the state of his marriage, in public, but it was to see was she accepted in society. And of course, he was the Dowager family, which is elite, and they have already, one of their connections did the same thing, and even the Knight's family or the Austen family did something similar, so they were accepted in society. Mm. And they lived very, very happily together, and they moved then to Ballyar House, which still exists, and they had a son together, another George Hill. But unfortunately, when Lord George Hill died later on, he's buried beside his true love, Cassandra, who's buried down here in Cornwall Church. And then Louisa then was left alone, and she brought her sister Marianne over to live with her. But Marianne's story is very sad as well, because she was a spinster, devoted her life to taking care of her family. But in those days, you didn't have an income. Nobody had to look after her. So she was basically homeless. So Louisa brought her home to Ireland to Ballyar House to live with her, and they lived out their lives till they died in their 80s, and they're both buried side by side out in Tully graveyard. So their life reads like a plot of a Jane Austen novel,
and I wish we had more time to dig a little into it, because the fact that Jane Austen really effectively 6 books, I mean, I'm not saying that's the totality of her work, but to be so well known with all, you know, even younger generations now, 250 years later, is really quite remarkable. In a minute, can you tell us what people can enjoy as part of this exhibition, Caroline?
So you come in and see them today. We have the photo album, which is bought by our colleague in our county archives. It contains the only known photographs of Louisa and Marianne, and then we have painting of Cassandra, and we tell the story of their lives in Donegal. And it's admission free. We're here. Come in today, we'll give you a cup of tea and a nice biscuit to celebrate Jane Austen's birthday. But everybody's welcome. And the exhibition runs until the photo album is on display until the 22nd December. And it's also been digitised. If you can't visit us, if you go on to DonegalCulture.ie, you'll find it there.
A remarkable connection. And as you say, it reads just like a novel she may well have penned herself. Thank you, Caroline, as always. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Caroline Carr, Assistant Curator at the Donegal County Museum. That's where we have to leave it on the programme today. Just to remind you that we are coming to you live tomorrow morning. It's the same show as always, but with extra Christmas treats. We're coming live to you from the City of Derry Airport. And tune in, because we have Home for Christmas. That and so much more besides. So looking forward to that already. Have a great Tuesday, everyone.